You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
School of Humans. Did you guys know that back in the day, boys used to share beds? Oh, but it's true, you know, today sometimes the boys don't want to share beds. Like, I'm going on a trip soon and one of my friends was like, I don't want to share the bed with this other boy. And I said, fine, you guys can have the room with the bunk beds. So, you know, if he was trying to not touch the other boy, unfortunately, technically in the bunk beds, they're still going to be on top of each other. But actually, back in the day, it was quite normal to be a man sharing your bed with another man. And sometimes not even with a man you knew, just like a random guy. Like maybe you're going to a hostel, a motel, a hotel, and you're in one of the cheaper rooms. You might be sharing your bed with another guy, just a rando. Yeah, just like you might be sleeping and then another man might be slipping into your bed. And then he might be slipping into something else, if you know what I mean. Yes, sometimes men would sleep in beds with other men, just to be practical, but then sometimes they weren't just bedfellows. Oh no, sometimes they became headfellows. What a good joke. As we all know, puns are the most sophisticated type of humor. And sure, it's hard to like prove that, you know, these men were sleeping together. People weren't really talking about sexuality that much, whether hetero or homo. But there is plenty of conjecture and some evidence that some notable politicians, in fact, were head fellows. Again, that's men who share beds who have sex. It's a term I just made up, but I am going to submit it to the official historical record as a new thing to say. And so, American Filth, we're having our first mini-series. That's right, we're going to be looking at several cases of head fellows. And first, we're going to start with a pair of spicy, zesty letters between two men who would go on to be some Southern and Confederate politicians. And these letters, well, they prove that some man-on-man hanky-panky was occurring during the early 19th century. You know what to do. Cue the theme song. This is American Filth. I'm your host, Gabby Watts. Every week I tell you a filthy story from American history. Today's episode, Bedfellows, Headfellows, Part 1. Let's get into the meat of this episode and meet one of the worst men in American history, James H. Hammond. Ding, 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 ding. Introducing our first headfellow. Yeah, this guy was a huge piece of shit. If not, maybe one of the worst. One historian called him nothing less than a monster. So here's some of the horrendous stuff that he did. P.S. Huge trigger warning for sexual assault. Hammond was born in South Carolina in the early 19th century, and he wasn't born well off. But he managed to snag himself a wealthy lady named Catherine Fitzsimmons. And through her, he was able to enter the planter aristocracy. Catherine was a shy 17-year-old whose family was convinced that Hammond was just after her money, which he probably was. As her new husband, he got all her stuff, a 10,000-acre plantation, and he had 220 enslaved people. And oh boy, did he love slavery. He's the one who coined the term cotton is king. And he was also really into states' rights. And by the mid-1830s, he was making political moves. He eventually went on to be the governor of South Carolina, a congressman, and a senator. And if you guys can believe it, he didn't have a great personality. Among the other planters, he had a pretty bad reputation. They thought of him as aloof and vain, willful, proud, moody, reactive. And he seemed to have a pretty heavy streak of sadism. He himself would frequently beat the enslaved people on his plantation. And then he would sometimes send them into malaria-infested swamps. So yeah, this guy was absolutely horrendous. But the thing is, his bad behavior came to bite him in the back. In the leg? In the butt? It bit him somewhere. And his political career was interrupted for 14 years. Okay, so what happened is it was 1846. He was already well on his way into his political career. He had served as the governor of South Carolina. And at this point, one of South Carolina's senators was about to step down, and Hammond was going to take his place. But suddenly, Hammond withdrew from the seat. Because Hammond's brother-in-law said to him, "Hey, if you become senator, I am going to expose some revealing information about you." At the time, there were rumors of a sexual scandal going on at the Hammonds. But there is no documentation of what exactly happened. But some sneaky historians published his diaries in the 1980s. And they revealed what that incident was that his brother-in-law was referring to. What had happened is that Hammond had repeatedly sexually abused his four teenage nieces. And oh, do you think he was apologetic about it? Absolutely not. In his diaries, Hammond was like, "I'm the victim." He's like, "Ugh, why am I being punished like this? All I did was, quote, a little dalliance with the other sex." He also just blamed the girls, who he abused over 2 years. He was like, "Oh, it's their fault. They were extremely affectionate with me. They were the ones who permitted my hands to stray unchecked. And they did not shrink from my touch. I fucking hate this guy." And it was even worse than that because Hammond was also a frequent sexual abuser to the enslaved women on his plantation. He might have even sexually assaulted a girl who was his own daughter. After all of this sexual abuse, his wife left him and took their children with her. But as history has taught us again and again, it is literally impossible to cancel a powerful white man. So like 13, 14 years later, his wife had already come back to him, and then he won a seat in the Senate in 1857. Yay, nothing ever changes. So now that we really hate this guy, let's get to the bedfellow stuff. Also, I do think this episode is slightly timely because Taylor Swift just put out her album where she had a weird line where she's like, I would live in the 1830s without all the racists or whatever. Well, this episode is mostly set in the 1820s with all sorts of racists. So I guess Taylor, watch out for the 1820s as well. There were also racists then. So yeah, it's pretty relevant to the modern day. Also, I do kind of consider myself the Taylor Swift of podcasting because sometimes I use too many words to describe a simpler point and could have been more thoughtful about what I said, but instead decided to do quantity words instead of quality words. Do you guys see what I'm saying? See, I'm doing it right now. But anyway, let's get back to Hammond and start learning about this bedfellows, headfellows stuff. Before he was married, had an established political career, and maybe before he was a complete pile of shit, he was a young guy and had a pretty interesting relationship with another young, aspiring politician slash lawyer named Thomas Jefferson Withers, or just Jeffrey Withers, or just Jeff. Around the time that Withers and Hammond became friends, Withers was studying the law and he frickin' hated it. He was like, the time one spends in college is time murdered. He's like, why do I have to learn all these stupid dead languages like Latin and Greek? Ugh, dumb. But Withers, through his own education and education of himself, because school was stupid, he was like, I love states' rights. National power, boo. Like Hammond, Withers was pretty unlikable. Some people described him as irritable and moody and reactive. And maybe it's their general bad attitudes that drew these two South Carolinians together. And how they ended up being bedfellows. We don't know exactly when they were in the same bed, when they were doing bedfellowing. But it seems that there was an opportunity where they were doing that and they were doing a lot more than sleeping. Yeah, as they were two ambitious men who were hustling and grinding, they might have also brought that hustle and mostly that grind to the bedchamber. And how do we know this? Well, because those sneaky, sneaky historians who love the hot goss, they found a couple letters that Withers wrote to Hammond. And damn, they are frickin' spicy as hell. And after these soothing advertisements, I'm gonna read those letters to you. BRB.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you guys ready for this spice? Not like from Dune, but like from the gossip. Okay, so this is one of the letters. On May 15th, 1826, it was sent from one Jeff Withers, our second bedfellow, ding, 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 to our first bedfellow, Jim Hammond. Jeff and Jim, how romantic. Hammond at the time would have been like 19 and Withers was about 22, okay? Here's the letter. I'm going to try to get into my best, like, saucy southern man voice. Dear Jim. No, I'm not going to do that. Okay. Dear Jim, I got your letter this morning at about 8 o'clock from the hands of the bearer. I was sick as the devil when the gentleman entered the room and have been so during most of the day. At about 1 o'clock, I swallowed a huge mass of Epsom salts, and it will not be hard to imagine that I have been at dirty work since. I feel partially relieved enough to write a hasty, dull letter. So yeah, y'all are probably like, wow, this isn't actually that spicy. I don't need to know about what he does when he doesn't feel good, but also Epsom salts. We're still using that shit. Okay, whatever. But it's about to get very spicy because he's like, I'm going to write you a dull little letter. But actually, he's going to write him a spicy little sex note. I feel some inclination to learn whether you yet sleep in your shirt tail and whether you yet have the extravagant delight of poking and punching a writhing bedfellow with your long fleshen pull. The exquisite touches of which I have often had the honor of feeling. Let me say unto thee that unless thou changest former habits in this particular, thou wilt be represented by every future chum as a nuisance. And I pronounce it with good reason too. Sir, you roughen the downy slumbers of your bedfellow by such hostile, furious lunges as you are in the habit of making at him, when he is least prepared for defense against the crushing force of a battering ram. Without reformation, my imagination depicts some awful results for which you will be held accountable. And therefore it is that I earnestly recommend it. Indeed, it is encouraging an assault and battery propensity, which needs correction, and uncorrected threatens devastation, horror, and bloodshed. Did you guys get what he's saying? He's basically being like, oh my God, you're flesh and pull. It's like a battering ram. And if you keep ramming it, baby, owie, 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 there's going to be devastation and bloodshed, daddy. Like, this is a real thing that they wrote in history. Isn't this amazing? And the rest of the letter, it's not really that interesting, but they just have this very vulgar paragraph. But it ends with Jeff Withers saying, with great respect, I am the old stud, Jeff. No warm regards, no best wishes, just I am the old stud, Jeff. Also, what I'm getting from this letter is that Mr. Hammond was the top to Mr. Jeff Withers. Unless that battering ram was a power bottom. Burp. Unfortunately, we do not know what Hammond said back to Withers, but Withers wrote again to Hammond a few months later on September 24th, 1826. It reads, my dear friend, your excellent letter of 13 June arrived a few weeks since. And it's up to our imagination to imagine how excellent that letter was. But in this one that Withers is writing, he gets pretty saucy yet again. It seems that Withers is trying to warn Hammond that Hammond's sexual appetite is maybe a little bit too much. "I fancy, Jim, that your elongated protuberance, your flesh and pull, your two Latin words, indecipherable, has captured complete mastery over you. And I really believe that you are charging over the pine barrens of your locality, braying like an ass at every she-male you can discover. I should lament to hear of you feeding upon the dross of the pasture and alarming the country with your vociferations. The day of miracles may not be past, and the flaming excess of your lustful appetite may drag down the vengeance of supernal power. And you'll be damned if you don't marry." These horny guys, Jesus. The historian who found these letters is Martin Duberman. And apparently the archivist didn't want to give him these letters because they didn't want him to see how gay these guys were. He wrote a really excellent essay about these letters that he called "Writhing Bedfellows." What Duberman was trying to understand was, are these letters representative of the cultural context and attitudes around homosexuality at the time? Or was this just one specific case of homosexuality that occurred? So here's the tea. Back when these letters were written in the 1820s, there was a more relaxed attitude towards sex. This was before the Second Great Awakening. This was before there was a lot of evangelical sentiment in the South. I mean, it wasn't completely relaxed or anything, but it was pretty common that men, especially planters, were having lots of sex outside of marriage. Duberman was also like, well, if you look at the tone of these letters, it's very casual. It's very flirtatious. You know, Withers isn't ashamed of his behavior. He's like, you're flesh and pole or whatever. And so Duberman's kind of suggesting like, well, they're not trying to hide it. So maybe it was actually more common than we think that men would have homosexual relationships when they shared a bed, when they were bedfellows. He's like, yeah, maybe homosexuality and that kind of behavior was casually tolerated at the time. Meaning there might have been a lot more headfellow bedfellows out there. But the great thing about this is there's no real conclusion because there's just not enough evidence out there. But whether or not this was a larger trend or whether this was an isolated incident, Withers and Hammond went on to have successful political careers despite their jaunt into homosexuality. Yeah, they got to be those 1830s racists that Taylor Swift didn't want to have anything to do with. Hammond, as we said, was a huge piece of shit. He got canceled for like 10 years, but then came back because, again, cancellation doesn't work. And his four nieces, who he sexually abused, they were ruined, and they never went on to marry. Hammond died shortly before the Civil War, while Withers went on to be part of the Confederate government. But don't worry, Withers died shortly after the end of the Civil War as a big old loser. As always, we learn a lesson from American Filth, and I think today's lesson is that you can call your wee-wee a flesh and pole. Also, I guess it just reiterates that no one can ever be canceled, and we are all alone, and there's nothing we can do. I know, that's not a good attitude. I am trying to work on my nihilism, I promise. But we are going to have another episode about bedfellows next week, and this time it's about none other than, drumroll, Abraham Lincoln. Whee! Cue the credits. We'll be right back. American Filth is a production of School of Humans and iHeart Podcast. It is produced, hosted, written by me, Gabby Watts. I also sound designed this episode. Our theme song is by me and Jesse Neiswanger. Our executive producers are Virginia Prescott, Elsie Crowley, and Brandon Barr. Please leave the show a review, some stars, you know, love it, hate it, do whatever, help the algorithm. Also, you can follow along with the show on Instagram at American Filth Pod. And just as a special little treat, I am going to write a song that's going to be like a parody Taylor Swift song, but the lyrics are going to be the words that were in Withers' letter to Hammond. Okay, so it's going to be called Writhing Bedfellow or Flesh and Pole or something. But yeah, go to Instagram, go see it. Talk at you next time. School of Humans.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.